something obvious, but it needs to be underscored, and that is marriage was God's idea. He invented marriage, relationship, sex, society, all of it. It's not like we read in the Bible that one day a bright light went off in the brain of a human being who said, I got a great idea. Let's get married. And it will be a great tax benefit as well. No, God invented it. And because God invented it, only God can regulate it.
Is the marriage you are a part of thriving or barely surviving? Keep Calm and Marry On is our new series on The Connection with Skip Heitzig. And be sure you stay tuned in after the teaching, because we'll hear more from Skip and Brian about tuning up your marriage.
One thing in communication is complimenting each other. I'm noticing the things that you like and approve and that you notice. And I'll say it to Lenya. I noticed early on in a marriage that when I would say something complimentary, it would change her. It physically changed her.
Now, this month only on The Connection, an amazing resource package featuring a personal update from Skip about events in the Mideast, including a photo record of Skip's trip.
Christians are dying for their faith in countries that are hostile to the gospel. Those of us still living in free nations need to be fully informed. Author Tom Doyle's book, Killing Christians, is part of the Connection resource package this month only. Killing Christians takes readers to the secret meetings, the torture rooms, the grim prisons, and even the executions of Muslims who have turned to Christ in Syria, Iran, Lebanon, and Egypt. The stories are breathtaking, the lessons, soul-stirring, and inspiring. You'll receive the book Killing Christians, along with a personal update from Skip Heitzig about his recent trip to Iraq, Lebanon, and Jordan.
And caught in the crossfire of their radical agenda are innocent lives, women, children, families displaced. We're talking millions of people. It's heart-wrenching, and you can only see so much of that before you think, we need to do something in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what we were doing.
Skip will take you into meetings with believers who risk their lives for the faith, and will let you meet the children in Iraqi refugee camps that are just over a hill from enemy forces. Receive Skip's private briefing, only available here, along with Tom Doyle's book, Killing Christians. And as a special bonus, a full-length message about the resurrection from Skip. You will also receive an update from Dr. Stephen Collins about his controversial project in Jordan to discover the real site for Sodom. All this for a suggested donation of $30. Call toll-free 1-800-922-1888 or order at connectiononline.org.
And remember, when you order the April resource package, the private briefing from Skip also comes with a collection of his personal photos taken in Iraq, Lebanon, and Jordan. This package is available nowhere else and only for a limited time. Call now 1-800-922-1888. We invite you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2 as Skip begins today's study with his wife, Lenya.
Well, Lenya, it was June 13th, 1981, that two people were standing together to be married. One was 25, one was 23.
That's right.
And it was a very hot day in Southern California, over 100.
That's right.
My shoes were 1.5 sizes too small, so my feet were hurting.
So you went barefoot.
I did after the wedding.
Kind
after
of.
You say I do.
It was at my parents' country club, barefoot on the grass.
Yeah.
If I'll they never... just took the photo a little lower.
Yeah, okay. But 31 years later, one son, two grandchildren.
Cadence Joy was born about a week ago.
Yep.
And strawberry-ish blonde hair.
Yep. And we're still together.
And I still love you.
That's awesome. Has it always been easy? Have I always been this wonderful?
Is that a trick question? It's always been wonderful being married to you, but not easy.
Okay.
But that's true
that's
for any
truth.
Marriage, isn't that right?
Yeah. Right? I see a lot of women going, yes, that's true.
That's right. Love is unconditional.
That's right. Any parting thoughts before we begin our message?
Besides loving you? I love you guys too. So glad you're here. And really am praying that this will bolster, strengthen our body, your marriages, your families, and our community.
Would you turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, the very first book, Genesis chapter 2. It is good to be back. We've been in Israel and some other places. Just so you know, Israel is fine. It's still there. Things are good over there. Let's pray. Father, we do come before you. We rejoice that you've called us together as a body. It's great to be part of a family, a group of men and women who are drawn together over the commonality of a Savior who loves us and paid for each of our sins and has written our names in your book of life. It's an amazing thought when we think that we were in your mind before you created the earth, and that your plan for us extends far into the eternal future. It gives us pause to think that if you thought of us then, and your plan is that far in the future, that you're able then to take care of everything in between, not just the eternal, but the temporal. And so, Father, we commit this time to you, our very lives to you, and our own personal estate, whether we are single or married. In Jesus' name, amen. Honest show of hands, how many of you remember Gilligan's Island? Raise your hand. Okay, now I got to ask this again. How many of you saw it, not as a rerun, but originally? You have fewer hands. Really? Wow. You know what I found out? It only lasted 3 seasons. That is, it was filmed 3 seasons, but then, of course, it enjoys a life of perpetuity. It's in reruns every week. Gilligan's Island was about 7 castaways who were attempting to survive on an island that their boat got shipwrecked on. I think it was 7. Gilligan, the skipper 2, the millionaire and his wife, the movie star, the professor and Mary Ann here on Gilligan's Isle. Okay, so I remember the song. It's in my head. And if you remember, it was about a 3-hour tour. Remember that song? A 3-hour tour that turned into 3 seasons. A constant theme being, we have to escape from this island. Well, that is more or less the idea of God Almighty when it comes to the establishment of marriage on the earth. To help a person escape the island of self. You say, the island of self, what's that? It's simple. The island of self is a place where personal freedom and personal pleasure are the highest values. It's a place we were all born on, we've all lived on. Unfortunately, it's a place that many of us go back to even after we say, I do. Go back to that island, go back to putting up walls and being guarded and not letting anyone, even our spouse, in. The island of self. I discovered something when I was married. I was a wonderful person until I got married. I mean, I was wonderful. I got up and I decided where I want to go, and I liked where I decided to go, what I decided to do. I didn't have to check in with anybody. All my decisions were great decisions. My room was as clean as it needed to be. After I got married, all that I thought that I was really wasn't as true as I thought. I wasn't as wonderful as I thought, because now I'm rubbing up against another personality, which is showing me not just a lot about her, but a lot about me. And I discovered I'm not as wonderful a person as I thought. You get 2 lives and you rub them together and there's going to be friction. Any 2 lives. Do you realize that every person on earth is incompatible with every other person on earth eventually? The issue becomes, what do we do now in discovering the differences and maximizing the relationship? Well, that's why we're kicking off a series that we're calling Keep Calm and Marry On. We borrowed the phrase. It was a World War II phrase that comes to us from England. When the war they thought was about to start, the British Information Bureau believed that the war would demoralize the British people within the first week. They wanted to send a message to the public from King George VI, And so instead of a picture, they put at the top of the banner, the poster, a crown, which represented his authority. A message from the king, and it was simple. Keep calm and carry on. So British. The hope was that the calm experienced on the inside would help people endure the war going on the outside. Keep calm and marry on is the name of this series. Why exactly are we doing it? After a protracted study in the Gospel of John for 2.5 years, why switch gears toward this topical endeavor? It's simple. Let me give you a few reasons. Number one, because marriage is the foundation of society. Any society, all societies, from time immemorial, it's always been the family, and the core of the family is the marriage relationship. Another reason is because there is a war. There is a battle. Shots are being fired over the bow. There has been, and there is currently, an all-out assault by social institutions, educational institutions, political institutions, and even in some cases religious institutions to undermine by redefining what marriage is. Third reason I'm doing it is because I've discovered that Christian couples that I know are sincerely struggling. They're struggling, in fact, emulating their worldly counterparts. You probably already know this. This isn't news to you that the divorce rate among believers is almost identical to the divorce rate among non-believers. We're struggling in this. A fourth reason is because the church is oddly silent about issues that the world is very vocal about. For some reason, we just feel like, well, you can't talk about those things. They'll talk about fidelity, they'll talk about sexuality, they'll talk about homosexuality very vocally, but we, on the other hand, we just don't want to broach the subject. And when we do, we don't do a very good job of it. We've gotten some interesting feedback on our signs that we posted around town and on the front of the building. And it always interests me to hear the feedback. I'm interested in what people think about, well, anything, but principally a positive message like sex, love, and self-control. You know, we're trying to turn that phrase from the 60s on its ear, if you remember the phrase sex, drugs, and rock and roll. They've hijacked the whole idea of something God invented. We didn't do it to be sensationalistic, but to frame it in its right biblical context. Sex with love and self-control is where God intended it to be. So we want to get back into that conversation. Now, I realize that not everyone here is married. Can I just add, yet? Yet. You may be single today. You may be divorced. You may have struggled through a long or are struggling through a long relational issues. I understand that. I know that. I am aware of that. Some of you are widowed, and you're not married now or yet. I also know that some are listening to this series and they're so excited. They can't wait to get into it week by week. Others aren't that excited. Others are listening with jaded ears. Yeah, I've heard this stuff before. I don't know if the Bible can really be trusted. It's outdated. It's passé. It really doesn't speak to my situation. So you have already at the beginning dismissed much of what the Bible clearly speaks about. That's unfortunate. Hold on, keep calm, carry on, and let God speak to you during this series. And just because the topic doesn't speak directly to your personal situation, for you to say, well, maybe I really won't get all that excited or be involved or attend because, you know, after all, I'm not married right now. Well, that's like saying we're going to teach today on worship and singing. And, well, I'm not coming because I don't have a good voice. Or, we're going to teach on trials. Well, I've had such a great week, I don't need to come. Listen, all of these principles are for all of us. Do any of you know anyone who is married? then these principles will even help you to help them find the solutions that God gives. Genesis chapter 2 is before us, and I've had you turn there because it is what we call the passage of primary reference. Four times the New Testament points back to the verses we're about to read because it's the first time God said anything about this issue. Now, why is this important? Because we immediately discover something obvious, but it needs to be underscored, and that is marriage was God's idea. He invented marriage, relationship, sex, society, all of it. It's not like we read in the Bible that one day a bright light went off in the brain of a human being who said, I got a great idea. Let's get married. And it will be a great tax benefit as well. No, God invented it. And because God invented it, only God can regulate it. If man invented it, then we would have the right to end it, terminate it, negate it, marginalize it, do anything we want with it. But if God invented it, then I think Jesus was right when he said, what God has joined together, let not man separate. It's God's institution. We want to find out what he says about it. We're going to read Genesis 2, beginning in verse 18 down to verse 22. We're going to skip trying to unravel the scientific basis for this kind of creation. We have done that in previous studies. We're dealing relationally here. There's two issues, not three, not four, two this morning we want to look at. The problem and the plan. Man's problem, God's plan. Man's problem, alone on an island. God's plan, being rescued from the island. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to the beasts of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he, that is God, the Lord, brought her to the man. In reading this, something abrupt catches our attention. It's the first time in Scripture we read where God comments and says something isn't good. Way back in Genesis 1, beginning in verse 4, begins a six-fold refrain where God says, this is good. And God saw that it was good six times. And so here's the pattern. God would make something, and he'd kind of look at it and go, that's good. Make something else, that's good, six times. The seventh statement in chapter 1, verse 31 is the capstone of all of it. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So in reading that God says, good, 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 very good, now we come up with a contrast, and God said, it is not good, gets our attention. In fact, in the original Hebrew, the construction places the negative phrase, not good, at the beginning of the sentence for emphasis. So it would literally read, not good is man alone. It's an emphatic statement. Not good that man should be alone. I will confess to you, before I was married, I thought it was great for man to be alone. I had a good time. I had a very fulfilled life. I lived three blocks from the ocean, had a very quiet roommate who wasn't there most of the time, a stack of surfboards in the garage, and a cat who I saw once a week because he tommed around the neighborhood. Life was good. This is great. What could be better than this? I work part-time. I have a lot of fun. Here's God saying, not good, man alone. Before I dissect with you what not good means, can I just say that there were certain things that were good about this. Number one, simplicity was good. It was simple life for Adam. It was just a relationship between God and him. Very few rules, only one real prohibition. Adam, you have options. You can go wherever you want. You can do whatever you want. You can eat whatever you want, except there's one tree, hands off, don't touch that. It's the only prohibition. Very, very simple. And that was good.
Life seemed good with that simplicity. But in the end, it wouldn't have been good. And God knew that. Though they take time and a lot of patience, the relationships we have really are a benefit for us. Now, let's go into the studio with Skip and Brian as they tell us about how to make a marriage thrive.
Skip, you know, as we begin this new series, could you share some practical tips that help married couples not only survive, but thrive in their marriage?
First of all, this series that we did, it really brought life to our church. It was fun for me to see, you know, young couples struggling with issues and older married couples who sort of thought they had it all together, to sort of revisit some really key relational topics and to watch us in our relational kind of well-being get forged back together. I love that. So it's something we like to teach on regularly. And I would say for anyone listening who is married, never stop growing. I know that sounds cliche, but never stop growing. Never stop communicating with each other. Never stop dating. You know, I love the whole concept of date night that has sort of popularized the last couple decades. And take your wife on a date, men. Make sure that you plan for time together away from friends, away from other family members, away from children. It's just eyeball to eyeball, discuss topics. And some people like to do this very organized. Okay, well, let's talk about our next five-year plan. Other people just like to let it happen, but make that happen. You know, that's just one of the biggies.
How have you and Lenya never stopped growing? I mean, what are some very practical things you two have done in your marriage to keep your marriage fresh and alive?
Well, one thing in communication is complimenting each other. I'm noticing the things that you like and approve and that you notice. And I'll say it to Lenya. I noticed early on in our marriage that when I would say something complimentary, it would change her. It physically changed her. And I thought, wow, that was easy. Now, it should be said with sincerity. It shouldn't just be manufactured. But how easy is it to say, you look marvelous? Or when she comes into a room, I still say, you light up a room. And she does. Whenever I see her walk into a room, it does something to me, and I let her know that. You just lit up the room, and there's a countenance change. You know, these simple little things that you can do, and also laughing together. You know, when you were dating, you remember you were with your wife, and there were certain times you just got to know each other, and something tickled you mutually, and you laughed about it. And I think laughter is important because there's enough sorrow in life that you need to get back to a place where you can just enjoy each other, enjoy the moment, enjoy a joke or a laugh in a movie or something that lightens the atmosphere.
There's always tough times in marriages. There's valleys and hills and mountain types experiences. How have you and Lenya gotten through some of those darker times? What have you guys purposed in your heart to, you know, get through those valleys, you know, following Christ and each other?
Well, we would often go back to those times we heard the Lord speak distinctly. And I say that because usually when you're in the valley of the shadow of death or of suffering, things aren't as clear. Things are muddled and confused, and you're looking through the fog. But if you can go back and say, do you remember what we learned from the Lord when this happened, when we were first going to get married, and how we knew that we should be together and knew that we should move here and knew that we should do this? And let's get back to that and revisit that. And let's get back to solid ground. And Lenny has a high intellectual capacity and a high spiritual capacity. So she knows her Bible. And when God speaks to her, she'll write things down and journal them, and she'll make reference to that and take me back to that. And she's always good to see if I'm going into a funk and to bring me out by certain reminders or certain questions, just key things to lift me. And when we do that mutually with each other, it's like what Solomon said, two are better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. And if one falls down, his companion can help that person back up again. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, he has no one to help him. It's a little treatise on friendship, but it really applies in a marital friendship.
Beautiful reminders. Thank you, Pastor Skip.
We hope you enjoyed the teaching today. And if you did, you can get a copy of How to Enter the Kingdom for just $6 when you call 1-800-922-1888. You can help make the same impact in this world by supporting this ministry financially. Just visit connectiononline.org/give. Tomorrow on The Connection, we will continue to see God's plan for our relationships.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection. A connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.